bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterville. And now, today's word.
To be a self-governed person, we must be able to govern four important areas of our life. Four important areas of our lives we must be able to govern, to be self-governed people. The first area that we must be able to govern is to govern our hearts. Govern our hearts. Govern your heart. Take charge of your heart. Why is that important? Psalm 16, verse 5 to 8, and then Luke chapter 21, verses 16 to 19. Very important statements there. Psalm 16, verse 5 to 8 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. If you remember, it was in our declaration last year. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Note the phrase in verse 7, my heart also instructs me in the night seasons. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Luke chapter 21, verse 16 to 19. In this passage, Jesus is talking about what will happen to his disciples after he has gone. He says they'll be persecuted, they'll be brought before magistrates, and all kinds of adversities will come against them. And he tells them what to do when those things happen. Luke 21, verse 16 to 19. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Verse 19, by your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. My heart instructs me in the night seasons, by your patience, possess your souls. If you're going to be a self-governed person, you have to govern your heart. You have to govern your heart. What does it mean? You have to listen to the spirit within. Listen to the spirit within. I want you to know the phrase once again. My heart instructs me in the night seasons. Leadership is seen in the time of adversity. Great leaders emerge in times of danger. When there's time of comfort, you don't see leaders. It's when we are in a crisis that leaders emerge. And the passage says that in the night season, our hearts must instruct us. What does that mean? Every leader goes through night seasons of life. What does it mean to go through a night season of life? It's go through a season of darkness when things are not clear in your life, when things are not working too well in your life, when you can't seem to know what the next step is, when everything it seems to be going wrong in your life. When you go through a night season, it seems as if the whole world has come against you. Nothing works for you. Nobody seems to be on your side. You seem to be losing everything. And things are just going negatively around your life. When you go through that, it's very easy for your heart to panic. It's very easy for you to hear the voice of chaos from outside and panic and do something very silly with your life. Most of the time, the problem of leadership is not what is happening to you, it's how you are responding to what is happening to you. So what do you do when you're going through a night season of your life and when everything seems to be wrong in your life? The Bible says our hearts must instruct us. In other words, instead of allowing the circumstance to speak to you, you must let the spirit within you speak to you. When David was going through such a night season, His army had returned from battle. Their village is burnt up. Their wives, their children have been taken. Their properties taken. The Bible says the people are thinking of stoning him. Everybody is grieved. But the scripture makes this insertion, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. What was he doing? His heart was instructing him in the night season. Now, many of us, or some of us, are in the night season of our life, and your heart is not instructing you. Fear is instructing you. News is instructing you. What people are telling you is instructing you. Newspaper is instructing you. Radio is instructing you. But a true leader, when you go through a night season, your heart instructs you. You allow the voice of the Spirit within you to speak to you. A self-governed leader is one who is able to listen to the voice of his spirit when everything is going wrong about them. To govern your heart means to listen to the spirit within. It also means to learn to be quiet when in trouble. To learn to be quiet when in trouble. No panic. Don't jump out of the boat. Psalm 46 verse 10, God says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. In Exodus 14 verse 13, Moses says to the people right in front of the Red Sea, when the sea is closed shut before them and the fair army of Pharaoh behind them, and they have no recourse to deliverance. They are panicked. Moses says to them, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which you accomplished for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Be still and know that I am God. Stand still. If you're going to be a great leader, you have to learn to keep the stillness of your spirit, even when everything is breaking out loose in your life. If you don't do that, you're going to hear panicky things and you're going to act panicky. Many times the biggest mistakes we make in life, we don't make them because of what is coming against us, but how we respond. People jump, people react, people do something very stupid. They take a very risky step. They see there's a crisis coming and they want to be free. And they do something more dangerous and get into more calamity. But the true leader governs his heart. Let your spirit speak to you in the night season and be still and know that he is God. There are many times that I've gone through situations when everything seems just to be going wrong. But I've learned over time, just being still itself without even knowing what to do, just possessing your soul and not panicking is probably the most important step you will take, because it helps you to clarify the next step you must take, and it helps you to know exactly what to do after that. So I'm here to tell you, govern your heart. Govern your heart. Jesus says, in patience, possess your soul. In other words, he's saying, when they bring you through all these dangers and things are going on around you, possess your soul. Keep yourself together. A leader keeps himself or herself together. Don't panic. Don't run. Don't tell everybody about your problem. Don't complain to everybody. Don't seek help from everybody. Don't run from one prophet to the other. You will end up collecting all kinds of spirits and confused prophecies. You went in with a financial problem, you will end up with enemies you don't need to have. Because they're going to tell you, your wife is the one who has been swallowing your money in the night. Your mother-in-law is the one who is sitting on your wealth. Now you have a financial problem, you have a domestic problem as well. Possess your soul. Be still. Govern your heart. Because leadership is about self-governance. And the first thing you govern is your heart. And David says, the Lord is on my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. You have to learn to lean on God's faithfulness. Many times when things are going wrong, the only thing assurance you have is God is faithful. And somebody says, how are you going to come out of this? You say, God is faithful. But how? God is faithful. So how is it going to happen? God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear. And with every temptation, he'll provide a way of escape. God is faithful. Are you sure tomorrow it will be there? God is faithful. If you don't get it, you are dead, oh. God is faithful. What else can I do? God is faithful. Possess your soul. Be still and know that he is God. One of the signs of a leader is not to panic when everything is panicky. And not to make a silly decision when silliness is happening all around you. You have to govern your heart. Tell the person next to you, possess your soul. Possess it. Possess it. It will be all right. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. If you knew what I was going through, you would say, oh, it will be all right. What should I say? It will be worse? Is that what you want me to say this Sunday? It's going to be worse. And I'm telling you, this one, you won't survive. Is that what you want? Tell the person next to you, possess your soul. Tap them and say, possess your soul, possess your soul. It will be all right. It will be all right. It will be all right. Be still. Be still. Be still. Don't jump. Don't jump. Don't do something funny. Don't kill yourself. Don't destroy. Just keep still. God will come through for you. He's a faithful God. You have to govern your heart. Novices don't know how to govern their heart. It takes maturity to learn to govern your heart. The second thing you have to learn to govern is to govern your thoughts. Govern your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. A self-governed person is one who controls the ideas that control them. The ideas we accept as true and valid will be the ideas we live our lives by. Sometimes it may be ideas we have inherited from our culture or through our experiences. And they may not be right ideas, but they govern you because each one of us is being led by some idea. If you're going to be a self-governed person, you have to govern your ideas. And how do you govern your ideas? You have to identify mental strongholds in your life. A mental stronghold is a thought or idea that strongly controls your life. It is an idea that has arrested you. It controls the way you see important aspects of your life. Many of the problems we have in life are mental problems. And I'm not saying you have a mental problem in the classical definition of it, that you belong to another place and not in church. But I'm saying that almost all the problems you have are mental problems. Most of the problems, not all of them, are mental problems. They are in your mind. I've come to realize that almost all marriage problems are mental problems. Couples have a lot of mental problems. And it's because there is an idea that people can't shake that has taken hold of their minds. You know, a hold of what a wife should be and a husband should be can cripple your marriage. And where did you get that idea from your father? How did he succeed with his marriage? Not too well. But why are you using his idea? He's my father. Where did you get that idea from? From my mother. Was she really successful with this? I don't think so. But you're practicing it. A man must be like this. A woman must. I'm the man of this house. And where do you get that thought from? As for me, I won't let a man deceive, cheat me. I won't let a man make a fool of me. As for me, where did you get that thought from? Maybe many men cheated your mother, and so she said that several times in your life. So you went into a marriage determined to defend your turf. It's a mental problem. I'm not saying you're mentally sick. What I'm saying is there is a stronghold. Poverty is a mental problem. Try to help poor people. Most times it doesn't work. You give them money, they will squander. 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 You see him, you think, oh, if I can only help him with this money. It doesn't work. Because the problem is not a money problem. It's a mental problem. It's not that they are mentally sick. It's just that there is a stronghold. There are people who believe when they have money, they must bless their soul. I must bless my soul. I have suffered. I have to bless my soul. Now, if you have that mental problem, then even if you owe money and you say, oh, help me, and I help you to give you money to go and pay your debt, I can guarantee you will not pay your debt. You'll go and bless your soul. So your problem is not a financial problem. There is a stronghold about self-gratification that is killing you. There's a stronghold of insecurity that is killing your marriage. There's a stronghold of superiority complex that is harming your relationships. So no friend sticks. You can say, well, no friend likes me. Oh, my friends, you can't trust people. You can't trust people. You are people, by the way. You can't trust people. You know what your problem? It's a mental stronghold. You can't trust people. You mistreat people. You backbite your friends. You're not loyal to any friend. People introduce you to people, you sidetrack them and go and get whatever it is. You're just playing games. How can people trust you? You think if you don't get it, you would lose it. If I don't get enough, I will lose it. I mean, I've seen it over and over. Because there's a mental problem. They have lived with scarcity all their lives. If you don't run, you won't get it. If you go, it will be finished. So it's a mental problem. That's why people don't trust you, because people always think you are conniving, you are always cheating, you are always taking advantage. Somebody opens the door for you, you go and steal from them. You have to identify mental strongholds. And you have to subject ideas and thoughts to God's truth. How does that idea fit with God's word? That idea you have, if I don't force for myself, it won't work. If I don't take it first, there'll be nothing left. How does it square up with, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God takes care of me. There's no scarcity with my God. There's no failure with my God. You have to subject your ideas. I believe in marriage, and I believe the husband is the head. But he's not a head that rams down his ideas down a woman's throat. Take it or leave it, I'm the head. If you have to appeal to your headship as a husband, you have a serious issue to deal with. Because if you love your wife unconditionally, there will be submission. And there will be mutual submission. If you respect your husband, he would love you and buy you that nice shoe. Subject your thoughts to God's word. What does God say about this? Especially Mary, before God says, wife, submit to your husband, he says, submit to one another. It's a mutual thing. submit to one another. Anybody who's been married for a long time knows that you submit to one another. There's no rule. You are the woman. You are the woman. I say you, woman. I'm the man. Yes, we know. So subject your ideas to God's truth. And when you find that your ideas, no matter how dear they are to you, no matter how much you love your ideas, you find they are not compatible with God's word, then you have to learn to dismantle every thought that opposes God's knowledge. You have to dismantle it. The passage says that we cast down every stronghold, pulling down, casting down imaginations. When an idea is contrary to God's words, don't defend it. Don't make argument for it. By all means, don't say, well, this is how I am. Well, if this is how you wanted to live your life, why did you let Jesus become the Lord of your life? Jesus becomes the Lord of our lives, so we will not be who we are. I can say, well, this is how I am. Take it or leave it. Then what is Christ doing inside me? He's there to transform me. He's there to change me. He's there to change you. So I cannot just leave it at, this is how I am. But Christ came to change us. He came to transform us. He came to give us strength. He came to give us ability. He came to live his life in us. If you're going to be a self-governed leader, you have to govern your heart. In time of crisis, govern your heart and govern your thoughts. Govern your thoughts. Bring your thoughts captive to God's word and let Jesus truly be the Lord of your life. God calls us to leadership, and leadership starts from within. It's personal. You governing your life when nobody is there. Developing integrity when nobody's watching. Being truthful when nobody's watching. Being honest when nobody's watching. Being honest when there is nothing at stake. Just being honest because you are honest. Telling the truth. Being sincere at the personal level. Being blameless. Thinking soberly of yourself. Being gentle, courteous, respectful, giving people way, stopping your car for others to pass, not pushing people through the door and the gate, but opening the door and watching who is behind you and making them come and pass after you open the door so you pass later on. That's courteous. That's respectful. Now, you don't do that because there's a camera watching you. You do it because that's you. That's where we start from. Leadership at the personal level. Then we go to the private level. We have friends. We marry. Husbands. Your first test of leadership is your marriage. Wives, your first test of leadership is your marriage. If you're not married, your first test of leadership is in that family circle between your brothers and sisters, between you and your close friends. Three friends, four friends you have. How do you manage that relationship? Faithfulness, loyalty, commitment, being there for the people who depend on you. That's private leadership. Then you go to public leadership. Not being a novice, having the skills, having a good reputation. And if you're going to be a great leader, to be able to do all of that, you have to govern your heart. Don't panic. Don't say silly things. Don't be angry and say something you'll regret tomorrow morning. Govern your heart. And govern your thoughts. Amen. Did you get some? A few minutes before we close, and just ask him to help you to govern your thoughts and govern your heart, and to keep you, to help you. We all need help. It doesn't come naturally to anybody. It's a discipline. It's something we learn. Just talk to the Lord, and maybe you're going through a crisis, and just say, Lord, help me to govern my heart. Help me to govern my heart. Help me to govern my thoughts, Lord. I'm not going to be panicked. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to do anything silly out of this situation. I govern my heart. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God will make a way. God will make a way. God will make. I don't know what he will do, but he will make a way. He's a faithful God. Father, we pray that you will help us to be true leaders, from the personal level to the private level to the public level. Our personal character, our private responsibilities and public responsibilities. Help us, Lord, in executing our leadership to govern our hearts and to govern our thoughts, and bring our hearts and our thoughts together to the cross, that in Christ Jesus we will find our true image and identity. Help everyone here going through a crisis. Help them, Lord, to possess their souls. And let them learn to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.